You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Wednesday, July 29, 2020. What difference does it make? How crude price differentials affect producers? Published by David Brazil. As the number of new COVID-19 cases continues to rise, so does the oil patch's apprehension that crude oil prices could be poised to take another hit. If that happens, producers would have to review, yet again, their plans for optimizing production as best they can, given the pricing outlook. But producers do not all receive uniform prices reflecting NYMEX WTI for their physical barrels. Far from it. Crude quality and proximity to a demand market can make a big difference in the price that the barrels will ultimately sell for. Price reporting agencies, or PRAs, such as Argus and Platts track and publish these differentials. But how are those differentials calculated and how do they affect producers? Today, we discuss crude differentials and their impact. A couple of weeks ago, we made the case in our blog Cruel Summer that there is distinct risk that crude oil prices could face another round of downward pressure if a second wave of COVID-19 again slashes refining demand and throws the supply-slash-demand balance back out of whack. If that were to play out, producers would once more need to reckon their appropriate level of capital expenditures and determine which wells to bring online and which wells to keep as inventory. As we discussed in Gimme Some Truth, those decisions will have a significant impact on the shape of our expectations for U.S. crude production. When crude oil prices plummeted back in April and producers across the country considered whether shutting in production was in their best interest, we noted in our blog called Shutdown that it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. Every producer has unique acreage, contracts, and hedges that will affect their decision-making. Key in all of their processes, though, is having an expectation of what price they are likely to receive for their produced volumes. In many cases, producers sell their barrels for delivery up to a month in the future. Earlier this year, we wrote a two-part blog series called Futures Games that delved into how such physical crude trades are usually set up. In part one, we explained that the pricing mechanism in these contracts contains several pricing elements that normally include the following. Number one, the NYMEX pricing element, a price that is related to prompt NYMEX crude oil at the time of delivery. These are typically either calendar month averages for trading days, or CMAT, or calendar month averages for all days in a month, or CMAA. The CMAA or CMAT may further be adjusted by a calendar rule. Those mechanisms were the subject of that blog series, so refer back if you need a refresher. Number 2. The grade differential to the NYMEX price element. A premium or discount to NYMEX depending on the crude grade, if the crude is not WTI. Number 3. The transport element reflecting any transport cost to the pricing location, normally a pipeline and or trucking fee. Number 4. The custom price differential or deduct, any discount or premium to the sum of the elements negotiated by the participants in the transaction. Today, we're focusing on the effect of items number 2, number 3, and number 4 on that list, the factors that together represent a differential to the NYMEX pricing element. We can get some view into quality differentials through refinery postings, but depending on which company's posting you look at and their refinery-specific crude appetites, those spreads can vary widely. Likewise, we have some insight into transportation netbacks through pipeline tariffs. But different shippers can end up paying significantly different rates due to their specific transportation contract provisions. Item number 4, the custom price differential or deduct, will be distinctive to each transaction and outsiders have little insight into their magnitude or justification. But luckily for us, the degree to which most producers ultimately discount those factors are summarized and published by price reporting agencies, or PRAs. Every trading day, PRA's Argus and Platts survey a broad cross-section of the market for the differentials to prompt futures of the various spot deals that got done at different locations for different grades of crude. Traders tend to think in terms of differentials rather than an absolute pry. Based on what the PRAs hear, they then arrive at a range of values, including consummated deals, bids and asks for the differentials at various locations. They can then compare those differentials to the NYMEX contract to back into absolute prices, which are then provided to their subscribers in their respective publications. The results of their assessments and the reasoning behind the differentials are also explained each day. Usually those differentials reflect fundamentals related to location and quality, but the method described also leaves open the risk that wide intraday swings in the futures price at the Cushing, Oklahoma crude hub will affect the prices used to settle physical contracts out in places like Midland, Texas. when producers sell their physical barrels, usually between about the 5th and the 20th of the month prior to delivery, their contracts may reference either these floating differentials from the PRAs or fixed differentials to some benchmark, either to outrights like WTI or Brent, or to another differench, such as Argus's Magellan East Houston, or MEH, index. Notably, both Argus and Platts launched new price assessments last month for outright WTI prices at the Gulf Coast, referred to as American Gulf Coast Select, or AGS. Similar to the situation we wrote about back in 2018, when the CME and ICE implemented new futures contracts for Gulf Coast crude, the key to success will be the degree to which they are adopted by the industry. In cases where differentials are quoted as fixed, the marketer typically swaps fixed for floating prices via an over-the-count, or OTC, trading platform, ICE or CME. If differentials quoted in the contract are floating, both sides monitor the PRAs and the contract is settled using the average of the published daily differentials. Building then on the example that we set forth in the Futures Game series, we establish the following warning: what follows will only make sense if you understand the calculations we set out in those earlier blogs. First, the CPAT for April physical was $16.70 per barrel, calculated by averaging prompt NYMEX WTI prices for trade days between April 1st and April 30th. Second, the CMA roll adjustment for the same period was negative 40 cents per barrel, calculated using NYMEX settlements between February 21st and March 20th. Now we can also take into account a location differential, number 3 on our list of factors earlier, using as our example Midland, Texas, for Permian producers. For the physical trading month between February 26th and March 25th, PRAs reported that WTI in Midland averaged about 25 cents per barrel less than Cushing. As an example of a quality differential to use for number 4, we'll look at the sweet-sour spread. Sour crude, with its higher sulfur content, is generally considered more difficult to refine, and as a result it averaged about 50 cents per barrel less than intermediate crude in West Texas for the same trading period. If we make up a custom deduct of 55 cents per barrel to account for all other factors, the net price that producers of WTS might have ended up getting paid for barrels delivered in April was closer to $15 per barrel. At the time, those same hypothetical producers would have been looking forward to May and doing the math on what they might expect to receive for their barrels next month. By April 20th, the NYMEX roll for physical May barrels had been set. Due to the steep contango of futures in April, the roll ballooned to a staggering $8 per barrel less than CMA. By the end of the physical trade month on April 24th, monthly average differentials for Midland barrels and sour barrels were fully knowable too, at about negative $2.50 per barrel and negative $3.50 per barrel, respectively. Using a similar custom deduct as before, 55 cents per barrel, sellers of WTS were looking at a total differential of $14.50 per barrel to the May CMA. While the CMA would not be established until NYMEX settlements were known a month later, compared to futures pricing at the time, it's no wonder that many producers chose to shut in May rather than sell barrels for what had set up as a month of extraordinarily low prices. On April 21st, for example, a producer would have looked at the June and July WTI contracts and, using the same 70-30 split described in Part 2, anticipated a May CMA of $13.71 per barrel. That's $1.80 per barrel less than where the differentials landed. It is possible, but not common, to sell just an outright price for a few days with no differentials and no references to NYMEX. But there are some weird situations, like when prices went negative on April 20th, that outright prices might be used to avoid the severe calculated differentials described before. We think that particular aberration causing negative WTI prices will not be repeated anytime soon, but if demand slips again, price volatility could create dislocations in the differentials, which would have a direct impact on producers' economics and production decisions, particularly as the pandemic wears on and, subject to each producer's marketing strategy, hedges begin to roll off. Looking forward now to August production, WTS is at a slight premium to WTI. This happens from time to time as refineries optimize their crude slates, and Midland is at a premium to Cushing because declining production volumes have created slack in the pipeline system, which has caused barrels in the Permian to get bid up. The roll, established between June 23rd and July 21st, is a negative 20 cents per barrel. To stay consistent with the examples before, we can factor in a custom deduct of negative 55 cents per barrel and, in total, our hypothetical producer will sell their August WTS barrels for just about 30 cents per barrel less than whatever the August CMA turns out to be. NYMEX WTI has remained consistently near $40 per barrel since early June, and the forward curve indicates we could stay in that range for the near future. those prices have motivated some bold Permian producers to start the discussions of bringing some previously deferred well completions online, but they, and we, will be paying close attention to the differentials when they do. If you want to know more about Permian crude fundamentals, we track them weekly in our Crude Oil Permian Report. What Difference Does It Make was written by Morrissey and Johnny Marr, and appears as the third song on side two of the Smiths' debut album, The Smiths. Released as the third single from the band in January 1984, What Difference Does It Make went to number 12 on the UK singles chart. The song was recorded in October 1983 at Pluto Studios in Manchester, England, with John Porter producing. Personnel on the record were Morrissey on lead vocals, Johnny Marr on guitars, Andy Rourke on bass, and Mike Joyce on drums. The Smiths is the debut album from the English rock band of the same name. The album was recorded in 1983 at Pluto Studios in Manchester, Strawberry in Stockport, England, and Eden and Matrix in London, with John Porter handling the production duties. It was released in February 1984, and went to number 2 on the UK albums chart, and number 150 on the Billboard Top 200 albums chart in the US. The Smiths were an English rock band formed in Manchester in 1982. Based on the music written by guitarist Johnny Marr and the lyrics of vocalist Morrissey, the songwriting partnership helped create a new sound with guitar, bass, and drums that was a post-punk rejection of the synthesizer dance pop of the early 1980s. The band released 4 studio albums, 1 live album, 10 compilation albums, 1 EP, and 22 singles. Their last 2 albums, The Queen Is Dead and Strange Ways, Here We Come, were both certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. The group disbanded in 1987. Morrissey and Marr still record and tour as solo artists. Bassist Rourke and drummer Joyce have worked together and separately with several artists since the Smiths broke up.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.